I'd like to welcome everybody to the May 26, 2021 special meeting of the Board of Selectmen. And I'd like you to join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
All right, we have our first agenda item is to do with Funkin' Old Brewery. The main board has approved a change in the contract to the zoning. And for it to go through, this board has to agree with that change. So I need a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the changes to the Funkin' Brew, the Funkin' Brew contract.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor? 4-0. Thank you very much. You're all set.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So the second agenda item is a discussion of the code enforcement office. Patty? You want to speak?
I do. Well, I don't.
Okay.
You want me to come up front?
If you don't mind.
Should I?
Sit at the table if you'd like.
Okay.
And Polly, can you close the door just so we don't get a lot of noise?
Can I sit? I'm going to sit.
That's fine. Yeah.
I'm going to apologize right up front because this is long. But I would like to read something I wrote to the residents of Lyman. I would like to thank those who have reached out to me over the last few weeks with kind words and well wishes. Being a part of this community has been a true pleasure, and I have enjoyed my time working for you and with you. I have really enjoyed my time in Lyman. I have come to feel like a part of the community, and I feel have been a positive contributor to a small town of family taking care of family. What changed? You know the term, one rotten apple can spoil the whole barrel? There is only a handful of people who are doing that for me. Where does it start? Where does it end? I can only tell you where it started for me and where it will end for me. The handful of people are past selectmen and one current selectman. I will start with the current selectman, John Tibbetts. When John was first elected as a selectman, he came into the office to meet me. I explained to him what my philosophy of the job is, that I treat everyone fairly, using the ordinances, not my opinion of the person making an application, to decide on the application, that I apply the ordinances with the mindset of helping people and getting their projects approved. I spend more time looking for ways to approve projects, and if the ordinance doesn't allow a project that I have to deny an application, I will go a step further and suggest alternative ways to accomplish their projects that fit the ordinance requirements. Until very recently, John has reminded me of that first conversation and has told me of how he respected my philosophy of this job and supported me in how I have performed my job. A month ago, a resident and an official, same person, in the town, came into my office to ask me if I was going to let these people run me out of my job. He said, don't let them make you give up and give them what they want. I told him I didn't intend to let that happen. Then he said, well, you know, you are in David L.'s pocket. I asked who said that to him, and he told me John Tibbetts. Now, not only is David Dulong spreading that lie, now a current selectman is also spreading it. I was furious and filed a complaint against John that day. This lie started by David Dulong years ago when David Alves had a project before the planning board, which Mr. Dulong was a member of. The board approved that project that Mr. Dulong didn't agree with. The project was a recreational building expansion. The vote was 4 in favor and 1 against. To this day, if you ask Mr. Dulong, he will tell you the whole board was wrong and he was right. When asked the reason why the board all voted in favor and he voted against it, I was told that Mr. Duong suggested that I favored the applicant and got the whole rest of the planning board to vote in favor of the application. I was told he further suggested that I was giving all of those board members sexual favors, and if I gave him the same favor, he'd probably vote with me as well. I reported this to two superiors verbally. Nothing came of that. I chose to let it go and did not file a formal complaint. I want you to know that I've kept this to myself for years with the exception of a very few people. The person who said this, reported this to me, would testify to this being said. When Mr. Duong first ran for selectman and was elected, I told John Tibbetts of his comments and my concerns that his first order of business would be to stop telling me how to do my job, to harass me further, and to continue his bullying tactics with a new vengeance. I was assured by the chairman of the selectmen at the time, Jeff Demers, and by John Tibbetts, they would not allow that to occur. I managed to find a way to stay in an atmosphere where these types of comments and other bullying have become a part of everyday experience at Town Hall. Mr. Duong was the person to investigate a claim filed against John Tibbetts for harassment a few years ago. Do you think someone who would say what he said about me is a good person to investigate a similar complaint? Because I don't. John Tibbetts was fully aware of Mr. Duong's comments about me. Mr. Duong's investigation included investigating the woman who complained. It took 4 months to suggest the complaints were unfounded and nothing was done by the board. When the previous assessor was bullied by Mr. Duong, which I and everyone inside the building was witness to, I encouraged him to report the incident. He met with John Tibbetts in my office and explained what occurred. John suggested that he not speak with Mr. Duong alone again, but always have a witness. When this employee read his statement to the board giving his resignation, John Tibbetts accused him of exaggerating. I believe he understated the confrontation and was being too kind, in my opinion. John came to me after that resignation and asked if I was aware I was going to be used as a witness to the confrontation that he was accused of exaggerating. I told John I was aware. I was not aware that he was going to say that, but it was true. I was a witness. I reminded John of that meeting in my office where we reported the incident, and John said, "Oh, I guess I forgot about that." I believe John Tibbetts' opinion of me changed over one application for a medical marijuana grow facility in the Wadley Pond area. Lyman has reviewed other applications, similar applications, and they have gone through uneventfully, even with positive participation from this group. I'd have to point out that these same people who have a problem with this grow, Jeff Demers, John Hoey, John Tibbetts, and David Duong, were all part of the process when the ordinance for medical marijuana was drafted and subsequently adopted by the townspeople in June of 2019. The planning board met with the Board of Selectmen for direction before drafting the ordinance and asked if there were parts of medical marijuana they did not want to allow in town, such as extraction processing. It was John Hoey who spoke up and said he thought we should allow that. He thought it would provide jobs for people in the industry in which he worked. The town did adopt a moratorium on marijuana facilities when adult recreational use law was passed, and it included medical marijuana facilities in that moratorium. The purpose of a moratorium is for an emergency when the town has no or inferior regulations for a use and to give it time to develop and adopt regulations. It is for a limited time and can be extended only once. The planning board developed regulations that compare to other towns. In my office is a stack of research that compares to the town of Acton's research. There is another stack of current ordinances on medical marijuana to compare with. People say we didn't do due diligence, that we didn't do research. We did a lot of research. The town has a great planning board. They attend meetings, they do research, and they participate with an open mind and treat people fairly. In December, for this medical marijuana process, John Tibbetts held a meeting of the staff review committee without posting the meeting or advertising that he was holding a meeting. The public didn't have a right to attend or witness the meeting. All of its members didn't have the right to attend. He might say it wasn't a meeting because he brought a letter he typed to two of the three other committee members. This is considered a meeting by the right to know law. He excluded me from this illegal meeting as a voting member of the committee. I believe he excluded me because I would have spoken against the content of his letter with information he neglected to share with the other members of the committee who he got to sign the letter. The letter was intended for the planning board meeting where David Allen's application was due to be voted on that week. The planning board held a public hearing on the application a month prior to this. It is procedure not to allow public input after the public hearing is closed. Because if the board allows one person, others who may have wanted to bring additional evidence might claim we were giving unfair advantage to one and not opening up the process to all. In the appeal of this project, filed by Jeff Demers, I was accused of refusing to participate in the creation of that letter, and then I was accused of not allowing the planning board not to consider the contents of that letter. I didn't refuse to participate, as he was told. I was excluded deliberately. The contents of that letter had to do with a business being allowed to be approved on a private road. The week the illegal meeting of the staff review committee took place, John Tibbetts was aware that I was seeking a legal opinion on this very topic, with his and the chairman of the select board's permission. While that was happening, the treasurer was asked to ask the town attorney the very same question. Not only was I excluded from participating, another department in town hall was asking to ask the town attorney a question having to do with the planning board process. I believe I was excluded because I would have shared with the rest of the committee that before we agreed to this letter, maybe we should hear what the attorney tells us on the topic, and because I would have suggested our committee follows the right to know law and posted the meeting as the law requires. I did file a complaint regarding this meeting and the misrepresentation of my part in the process and for excluding me, a voting member of that committee. There was a confrontation regarding my complaint that resulted in an attack on the planning board process and me asking John if he needed to speak to me so condescendingly. Without waiting for an answer, I left the room. The complaint was not dealt with. After I filed another official complaint against John Tibbetts for spreading a lie, a resident suggested to me that John and I talk. I thought it was too late for that. However, the next day I decided to give it a try. A few residents witnessed our speaking to each other in the parking lot at Town Hall that day. John told me he did not say that I was in Dave Al's pocket. What he admitted to saying is that some of my decisions have been questionable. I asked him if that was so, why didn't he simply come question those decisions so that I might have been able to defend them? I can defend the decisions made during the course of my work. I asked John in the future if he might bring his questions to me and hear my side before he goes around saying something like, the code officer's decisions are questionable. I feel that a person who doesn't seek both sides of a statement or story doesn't want to know and only wants to further their own agenda by spreading misinformation. When I told the person who informed me of John's comments that he denied saying I was in David Al's pocket, that person was very upset. He said he told John that he told me word for word what John said, and that John said, Patty is in Dave Al's pocket. This person signed a written statement to that effect. What does this tell me and why am I sharing it? If people are going to mend fences, they have to start by being sincere and honest and admitting and apologizing. This is not the type of people I am dealing with when it comes to the maligning, defamation of character, creating a hostile work environment, and forcing me out of my job. Ones that deprive a person of their goal of working here until she retires. ones that deprive a person of a good-paying job until that time. During our parking lot conversation, David DeLong saw us talking and decided to join the conversation and pulled up to us. I was able to tell Mr. DeLong that when he confronts me in front of co-workers and customers saying things like, "I find that hard to believe. I take that as calling me a liar in front of everyone." That is mild compared to some of our conversations, but it is the most recent example. During a conversation with all three of us, David DeLong told me not to forget who came to my defense when there was a group of people trying to cut my raise at town meeting, saying, "John and I came to your defense. We were supposed to be talking about why I wanted to leave my job." What it turned into was manipulation and trying to make me feel beholden to them for that and to not continue with my complaint against John. Mr. DeLong's dislike of me, I believe, began in 2014 when I suggested to the Board of Selectmen that he not be reappointed to the Planning Board. In 2013, a retaining wall was constructed on a property on Wadley Pond. It was almost completed when someone called my office to ask who was building it because it was such a beautiful wall. I began looking for this wall, knowing I had not issued any permits for any walls. When I found it, it was so big, probably 50 feet long and 30 feet high, and in tiers with patios and within 3 feet of the pond. I asked Mr. DeLong if he saw that being constructed, and he admitted he had. I asked why he didn't report it when it started. He said it's not his job to enforce the ordinances. When his term came up on the Planning Board, I suggested to the selectman that he didn't uphold the oath of office he took when he was sworn in to uphold the ordinances of this town. He again stated to the board, it is not his job to enforce the ordinances. I stated at the time that he is right, it is not his job to enforce, but it was his job to report the violation to the person whose job it is to enforce. Finding that wall was one of the worst days of my working career, maybe the worst. Imagine what it feels like to tell a person they should have applied for a permit for this. They probably would not be granted a permit for this, and they will most likely have to remove it. After several court hearings and years going by, the wall was partially removed and or covered. The owner went to jail twice for contempt of court and paid upwards of $13,000 in fines and attorney's fees back to the town for the violation to be mitigated. Mr. DeLong could have saved those people from this if he had reported it to me when he saw the wall construction at the start, but that wasn't his job. Now it appears he has seen the light and sees enforcement as his job. People report to me that he goes around to companies asking if they have permits, asking if they've installed tamper-proof electric outlets, asking if they have permission to cut trees, etc. I must say, I don't go out into the town asking people if John Tibbetts or Dave DeLong are talking about me. People they have talked to or said things about me to come to my office and let me know what is being said. Another bad apple is the previous selectman. Jeff Demers came into my office to tower over me and yell at me that I am not doing my job protecting the residents of this town. He was highly offended that I would not allow him to step into my office and close the door after saying that so that he may continue to bully me in private. This is all over an application in their neighborhood that they say, not in my backyard. Most recently, Jeff called me. When I answered his question about the Zoning Board of Appeals process, he loudly said, "Come on, Ms. McKenna." I immediately said, "I'm done," and hung up the phone. He immediately emailed me and said, "Why did you hang up on me? I was being friendly and nice, as my recording will show." I emailed back and said, "I'm tired of verbally sparring with people," and asked for a copy of that recording. The next day, he was at town hall looking for me at the start of the day. I was out doing inspections, but he came back that evening to speak with me. He asked me to step away from my office where the electric inspector would have been a witness to our conversation. I reluctantly agreed. He stated that he knows our working relationship has been ruined, that we used to work well together, but it has changed and he wishes that were not so. He reminded me that he believes I am not doing my job to protect the residents of the town. It was not a confrontational discussion or rude, although I feel a veiled threat was made to me when he told me to be careful with my emails because he could demand to seize all of my personal devices. I was emotionally exhausted by this meeting and broke down. He emailed me minutes after leaving town hall and thanked me for our conversation, stating he felt better. John Tibbetts also thanked me after our conversation that day in the parking lot and that he felt better after we talked. I would like to say they talked and they felt better. I did not walk away from either conversation feeling better about anything. I am not here to make people feel better about attacking and bullying me. It's absurd to me. I had to take the next 2 days off from the emotional toll of that conversation, and it was the last straw for me. The day I came back, I submitted my resignation. I am weary from trying to mend fences that I didn't take part in breaking. With all this being said, and I realize it's a lot, I can't wait until I don't have to hear what is being said about me, whose pocket I'm in, what favors I am giving to get people to go along with me, how I'm retaliating, how I am helping bullies to feel better about bullying me, how indebted I should feel for them coming to my defense. It's not so much that I care what people think of me. That comes with the job to an extent. It's that other people who don't know me at all are believing these lies, or at least they are spreading them without even giving me the benefit of the doubt. A local realtor came to me recently after meeting with a potential buyer at an open house in Lyon who said, "I don't like the things I'm hearing about that CEO of ours. I heard she might be getting some favors. Bad apples spoiling the whole barrel. I would love to know how it is these people think I am benefiting from being in David Al's pocket. It is so ridiculous, it's laughable, and honestly I feel sad for people who must resort to such belittling of a woman because they don't have any true facts to use against her." I will end the story with a story that John Tibbetts shared with me about how he views my work. When I helped a couple of years ago when the previous treasurer left for the same reasons I am leaving, and when I helped when the previous selectman clerk was out of work for a couple of months, he compared me to the workhorse in the field who always takes the bit willingly. That is the workhorse that gets worn out first. I really didn't mind that analogy that much. I am a workhorse. What I am not is the cow that follows the farmer shaking the can of sweet oats to the slaughterhouse. I would like to end this on a positive note and sincerely thank all of those who I've gotten to know and like in this town. I've enjoyed my time here in Lyman. I think of my time here, I will think of my time here, with fondness once I'm over the bitterness of why I'm forced to leave. I've had many laughs and tears with so many of you. This wasn't just a job or just a paycheck. When I talk to people and say my town, I meant Lyman, not the town I live in. Getting to know people and hopefully doing a little bit of good while I was here will outweigh all of this negativity, and that is what I will take with me when I move on. I only ask you to do your own research before believing or repeating something you hear. The information at Town Hall is all public information. Turn this town into the positive place it was when I first started working in the community. Thank you for sitting through all of that.
If I may?
Yes.
Patty McKenna, our CEO, building inspector, plumbing inspector, health inspector, 911 coordinator, planning board clerk, and deputy treasurer. She is leaving a job because, in my opinion, she is being forced out by individuals that she has had to deal with for many years. As a group, they have belittled her, besmirched, demeaned, slandered, and intimidated her for doing her job. This woman has put in multiple complaints that this board has not acted on until very recently. Although this abuse was taking place for years, I feel this board was too slow to protect her the way an employee of a town should have been protected. As far as I'm concerned, we did too little too late. No one should have to go through what she has. This woman is well respected by many, and I want to give her the respect she deserves. Some say she's overpaid. I say she's earned every dime. Her salary can easily be justified by $60,000 to $75,000 a year she's collected in permit fees over the past few years. I have so much more to say, but I'd like to try and work a possible solution and make an offer to help her with the difficult work conditions she had to endure. I propose, if she's willing to consider, that the town offer a 30-day paid leave of absence with no interference or contact from anyone regarding work. If after 30 days she is feeling better and is willing to stay working for the people of Lyman, we offer her the option of working from home. If documents are needed, the town will pay for an insured courier to bring documents back and forth. I feel she is being forced out of her job with only a few years left of her retirement. I also propose that these actions from these individuals be investigated by a third-party legal team to see if any law was broken with their actions.
Amen.
All keys to the files in office should be taken from all selectmen. Locks should be changed. Files should be protected from theft and tampering.
Amen.
New keys should be given to the clerks. If someone needs information in a particular file, there should be at least one witness in a log that should be signed. Why, who, for what property or person the file is being looked at. I feel the slander that she has to deal with over the years is worthy of this small offer. If she accepts, this town would have dodged a loss that would be felt for many years to come. If there are any naysayers, I say to them, this is the least we can do as a town to thank an employee that has given us so much. I would like to make a motion as written. Do I hear a second?
Any discussion? All those in favor?
I'd like some clarification on that motion.
Can you tell me who you are, please?
I'm Bob Sainon. Right. I'd like some clarification on that motion that they just submitted. In there were, I think, three items.
Yes.
So it was voted in the affirmative that the keys are going back to the town clerk. The town clerk be responsible for the vault.
Yes.
And no longer in the possession of the selectmen.
Correct.
Correct. Correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Should have stayed anyway.
Yes, sir.
I'm Alan Goodwin from Goodwin Lane. What was presented here sounded really good, except for one thing. Having her work from home is a cop-out. What should be done is whatever it takes to make working here the way it should be.
Yeah. I think that's the law of this state, excuse me, that people have a say.
Stand up, your name, please.
Paul Ray, I believe that every town employee should have a safe environment in which to work in.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just, that's horrible that you come to work feeling like that. And as far as a month off, what's going to happen with her desk when she comes back? The town needs to look at this and see if she doesn't come back to...
We know that. my train of thought just kind of went.
Well, while you think about it, can I
go ahead?
Bob, say it again.
citizens have the right to come in and out of this building and conduct their business, but they don't have the right to come in and berate the employees. And those employees, people that are doing it, they need to be addressed by you people. Either bring them before the board, and if it should continue, they need to be told they're not coming back to the town hall. These people work for us, but that doesn't give us the right to come in here and lay into them for doing their job. So I think the Board of Selectmen need to look at this. If this continues, it needs to be addressed from that level.
You brought back my train of thought.
Good.
Okay. Just a couple comments I'd like to make. Number one, we have a charter that specifies protections for the employees, from other employees, and the oversight is given to the Board of Selectmen. That's one thing. The second part is our personnel policy protects employees from employees, but it does not do anything to protect the employees from the Board of Selectmen, and there are no consequences for their actions. That's one of the reasons we need to change the charter. The other thing is, I've been the chairman since October. Nobody told me that it would take 20 to 30 hours a week to work here as a chairman. And we should have changed this 6 years ago with the past charter that the board stopped from going through. It's time for a change. Yes. No, go ahead, Marcel.
Yeah, Marcel DeRosa. I'm the electrical inspector. I work with Patty, share an office and everything else. Well, you guys know that, dealt with a lot of you already. I've sat in that office after individual she has named, took her out of the office, berated her, and she has come back in tears. I have taken her out on inspections with me to get her away from some of the people because I knew they were coming after her. Okay? She has asked me to keep my mouth shut because she doesn't want to raise a ruckus. Okay? She has gone through a living hell. So, yeah.
Yes.
Hi.
Can you tell us who you are? Stand up.
Absolutely. Please. My name is Ashley Childress. I'm from Haven Way, off of Roberts Pond. I came up here for two reasons tonight. One, I came into this town new. I bought some land, fresh build. I wanted to own a GC to build on my own. Single mother. This is my daughter. So two reasons I'm here tonight. But the first reason is this. With that, I came in and had no real idea of what I was doing, but also wanted to do it, because it's something to be proud of, and it's something to learn, save some money, and be proud of what you built. With that, I called Patty. Oh, my God, I can't even tell you how many times, and Marcel, how many times, and I want to say it took me about a year and, like, 3 months to build my house, neighbors helping. With that, Patty was there. I could call her, and I had my own excavation equipment. Patty, I'd like to dig my own septic. All right, I know a guy that gives, or you pay for septic plans. Had that come in. I got my own septic equipment. I dug everything. Patty, come over and inspect. Oh, you got to scarify this. What the hell does scarify mean? Okay, I'm going to learn. And that was Patty. That was your town. That was your code enforcement. That was what I learned from. Next step. Patty, what do I do next? Okay, your next step is hire on these people. The best part about that is everything I was doing, she was making sure I was doing good. Everything that I was hiring on, she made sure they did not mess me over. And I had never really realized how much she had meant to me. She helped me build a house that I don't know if I could have ever done without Patty. And that is her code person. And Marcel, same thing. Your genuineness on calling you for electrical inspections and what do I do next? You guys helped out a single mother trying to build a house in this community. And I loved it. And I have a beautiful house on Roberts Pond. The second reason I came here, which is almost more important than the first, I brought my daughter tonight. My daughter's like, why do you want to come to the council? What do you, just come. She's like, what does that have to do with it? Just sit and I'm not going to tell you anything. What I wanted her to hear was her woman who stood up, scared, you could hear it in her voice, and say everything. And I want her to know that you can do that. And I want your town to know that you will back them up. And that is why. That is the second and more important reason. Thank you, Patty and Marcel, for helping me build my house. But the best part is to see that my daughter can sit here and watch a woman nervous and a town supporting her. I was so stoked to say that. So that was really it. Not too much on that, but that's all it is. And you can hear my voice.
Laurie,
I'm Ashley Childress.
Okay, thank you.
From Haven Lyons.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I tell you the definition of scare files?
I literally said, what the heck does
Mr.
that mean?
Goodman?
I mentioned that this motion needed to deal with getting Patty a good, safe place to work. It got slurred over, passed over. Is somebody going to do something about it? Motion, two thoughts, another get together?
I can't say a whole lot, but I can tell you that we are working.
I'll check in.
Okay, more than one, anytime.
Okay, motion call for it. Your motion call for an independent body.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Peg McDonald from Clarkswoods Road, Lyman. Just curious if we are going to be able to issue permits at all after Patty's gone, or is that legal? Are we allowed? Or I mean, I know without an LPI, there's it's kind of like, ooh, what do we do? So
we have to make sure that we can continue business.
Right.
How we're going to do that, we're working.
You're working.
That's
okay.
Really all I can
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
We're not letting it slide. We're dealing with it.
Okay.
Bill,
can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Say who you are.
I'm Polly Weiss, your town clerk. We're going to have an onslaught of people coming in here looking for code enforcement, and it's going to be Sue, Donna, and I taking a hit from these people that are going to be upset. What are we going to tell them? If they want to come in and get a permit, what are we going to tell them?
That's what I just answered. We're working on that.
So that's what you want us to say? We're working on it?
Well,
come back in a week?
She's still here today. Let's wait till tomorrow. We need some time. Okay. Motion. Yep. Can you second it? Okay. Motion to adjourn. All's in favor? 4-0. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And you're welcome. And please come.